So we are holding on Nun Dalet Amud Beis by the Mishnah. There's a number of Masechtos in there, so watch out. We're in Bechoros. Nun Dalet Amud Beis. Okay, so we're talking about Maaseh Behema. That's the Torah tells us you have to take 1/10 of your animals, of your newborn animals every year, and bring them as a korban. So how far apart can your animals be and they still count as one group? So the Mishnah says, Maaseh Behema Mitzarech, Maaseh Behema, the animals can combine together, Kimloi Regel Behema Roy, the extent of the area in which a grazing animal will wander around. So actually, it actually gives two explanations of that. One is that let's give the definition also in the Mishnah. B'chamehi regel b'hema roya, how much is that amount that the animal wanders around when it's grazing? Tech zayin mil, 16 mil. 16 mil, and in modern terms, would be about 10 miles. So Rashi gives two explanations of it here. One is that, yeah, that animals wander around. When they're grazing like that, they wander around within a distance of 16 mil. As the Gemara is going to point out, the main point is that the shepherd himself is able to keep an eye on them from that distance. The other explanation, Rashi says, is we're not talking about the distance that the animals wander around. The other one is that Kimloi Regel Behema Roya means as far as animals wander and can still be watched by one shepherd, which in that case, it might come out then, according to the first explanation, the word Roya would be in the feminine, like we're going with Behema. And the other one second. And the other one would be Roya in the masculine, referring to the shepherd. So again, according to the first explanation, what we mean is when animals are grazing, they wander around hither and yon to find grass, whatever, and they may wander up to Tes Zayin Mil, up to 16 mil away. The other explanation we're saying is that that's the distance at which the shepherd can keep an eye on them. So now, you have actually, Tiferes Yisrael learns that what it means is if the shepherd is in the middle of a circle of where the radius of that circle is 16 mil, in other words, 8 mil in each direction. So that makes it half then. 8 mil then is about 5 miles. So the point would be, in other words, it is true actually.
What about if you say 17 mil is the circumference?
No, nobody says that. Because we're going to see in the next part of the Mishnah that wouldn't work. But again, according to the Pharisee Yisrael, what it means is we're talking about that the shepherd is able to keep an eye on them 8 mil in every direction, which is about 5 miles. According to some of the other explanations, it actually means that he can see 16. Now, one second. It is true, because the earth curves, there's a limit how far away you can see anyway. Eventually, the earth curves, and things go below the horizon. But that really depends how high above sea level you are. Eretz Yisrael was mostly not flat. Eretz Yisrael was mostly hilly. So conceivably, we could have that the guy is standing on some low rise or whatever, and therefore he's able to see further than he would if he were actually at sea level if all the land around him was flat.
Yes.
No, in the Galil also. The Galil also has hilly areas. Yeah, okay, so that's what they're. But there is also the point, though, we're not just talking about how far you can see before the earth curves away. There's also how far he can see with, you know, how strong his vision is, and, you know, is there pollution, et cetera. I mean, obviously, conditions then weren't necessarily the same as they are now. Our eyes aren't as strong, for example. You and I wear glasses. We wouldn't be able to see anything 8 or 16 mil away. We can barely see anything across the room, you know. There's all, you know. Yeah, you know, and also, you know, I mean, what with air pollution, you also can't see as far, so whatever, you know, but the Chachamim figured out that, yeah. Hoyu ben Elu la'elu lamed beis mil. Suppose that between one group of animals and the other, you have 32 mil. Now, the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean? You started by saying 16, why are you all of a sudden jumping to 32? So we'll get to that. Ein mistarfen, then they don't combine together. They don't combine together, meaning, in other words, if they're within this distance, then They all count together towards Maaseh Behema in the sense that when it comes time to give Maaseh Behema, so actually Rashi uses the expression over here that you don't literally have to bring them later on in the Mishnah. Rashi says, but many Mephoshim explain. Rashi means, in other words, you don't have to all bring them, let's say, to the middle. You can bring them to one side or the other or whatever. But when it comes time for Maaseh Behema, because you have 10 animals, even though they're scattered, there's some here, some there, as long as they're within 16 mil, then you have to give Maaseh Behema from them, as opposed to if they were further apart than that, 32 mil, as the Mishnah says, then you don't, well, then what it is, if by the time, if by the time it comes time for mice to behave, right, either the animals have been gathered together, or you have more animals are born in one herd or the other, fine, once you have 10 animals in one of the herds, or once they're brought together, you'll take mice to behave then. But if it happens, by the time it reaches, by the time it reaches the end of the year, by the time these animals are a year old, by the time it reaches the Chodesh Elul, actually, which is the cutoff date, and they haven't gotten together and you don't have 10 in each one, then yeah, they're going to be possible. So if they're 32 mil apart and they don't combine, what if you have in the middle of the 32 mil, you have some other animals in the middle? Maybe you might ask them to enter, then you bring the animals and take mice from them in the middle. So here's where it actually says, loy maybe, mamash karma. You don't literally mean that you have to bring them, which either means, in other words, that Rashi might be saying that you don't literally have to gather them all in one place. The fact that you have animals in the middle combines the two herds on the side, so therefore it's considered because they're within 16 mil of each of the other ones, as we're going to see in the Gemara. And therefore, they all combine together, and therefore you pick your mice. Therefore you pick your mice out of them collectively.
Have animals between the shepherd.
No, not between the shepherd. What we're talking about is if you have some animals here and some animals here, and they're more than 16 mil apart, then they don't combine. But if you have some animals here in the middle, then they do combine. And then what it is when it says maybe or ma'aster and be'emsa, so Rashi uses the expression loy maybe mamish ka'amar. So either what that, some portion explain that what Rashi means is you don't necessarily have to bring them together. You'll still take ma'aster at the end when it comes time for taking ma'aster. You'll just take them without bringing them together. Or maybe Rashi means you don't literally have to bring them to the middle spot. Hello? You don't maybe have to bring them literally to the middle spot. If you want, you can bring them to this spot or to this spot or whatever, as long as you have 10 animals in one place. Well, it's much more than Tom Chavez. Tom Chavez is 2,000 mil, but yeah. Rav Meir says, Hayaudin mastik or maise behema, the Yaudin river separates things as far as maise behema. Meaning, the Tanakhama is saying 16 mil without reference to whether they're on different sides of the Yaudin. Rav Meir is saying, if you have some of these animals on one side of the Yaudin and some on the other, then even if they're within 16 mil, they don't combine together for reasons that we'll discuss in the Gemara.
What about
Mustafa? It doesn't matter. It's specifically, you know, in any other direction or on either side of the Yarden, 16 mil, whatever kind of comment says. But if it's across the Yarden, he says they don't combine together, even if it's less than that. Okay.
What's the distance between the sea and the Yarden on, you know, let's say, Tel Aviv or Yerushalayim?
I don't know, actually.
15 kilometers?
No, it's much more than that, yeah. It's more than that, I think, yeah. I'm not sure. Okay. So we want to start off. Where do we know this whole concept that if the animals are more than a certain distance apart, then they don't combine together? And if they're within a certain distance, then they do. Alma Rabba Bashila, Da'amakra, because you have a pasuk in Yirmiyah. The context of the pasuk is it's a nevuah of Nechama, that Yirmiyah says to the Jewish people that there is going to be, even after the Golos and everything, there is going to be a Geula, and everybody's going to be back in Eretz Yisrael. And he says, Oid Tavona Hasoin Al Yidei Mona. There will yet be that the sheep will pass by the one that counts them, implying when are they considered one herd of sheep, when a single person is able to count them. The Kimla Hula Rabbanan, now the Rabbanan know for a fact, the Shitza Mil Koshaltebe Eina Derot, that up to a radius or diameter, whatever, of 16 mil, Shisha means 16, the shepherd is able to see things and is able to keep an eye on the sheep. Again, you know, obviously at that distance they'll look like little dots or whatever, but he'll still see that the sheep, yeah, not 16 miles, 16 mil. Again, according to the Tiferet Yisrael, what we're really talking about is 8 mil in each direction, 16 total from one end of the circle to the other. According to everybody else, it means actually a radius of 32. It means 16 in this direction, 16 in that direction. Again, I guess they had sharper vision and the air was clearer and whatever. Okay. Okay, then we said, we said if you have between one group of animals and the other, you have 32 mil, ein mitzdarfin kola, then we said they don't combine together. So what do you mean? Shloshim or shnayim or ein mitzdarfin? So what are you telling me? They don't combine together if they're 32 mil apart. Habosim and hachim mitzdarfin? So you're telling me if they're less than 32 mil apart and they do combine? Va'katani says 9 mil, say Lord, it said that only 16 mil was the limit. And yeah, it's a contradiction. Less than 16, we know counts, they count. More than 32, it doesn't. What happens between 16 and 32? The answer is, you're right. The Mishnah doesn't mean that when they're up to 32 apart, they combine. What the Mishnah means is Mishum de Kaboy Mishnah Sefer, because the Mishnah is going to continue with the case. Hoyulad be'emsa, that if you have other animals in the middle, maybe your ma'astra and be'emsa, then you bring them and then take ma'astra from them in the middle. In other words, those middle animals count. Combine with the other ones to make it be considered one big herd. So that's the point. In other words, if the outer herds are 32 mil apart, then it means even if you have one in the middle, then you have 16 mil between one and the other, and therefore they're not going to combine. If you have the outer two herds are within 32 mil, then if you have one in the middle, then if you have one smack in the middle, then good, it'll be within 16 of this one and within 16 of this one, and then they can all combine together.
So repeat that. If there is an animal in the middle.
If there are animals, and we're going to see in a second how many there need to be in the middle, and you have some that are within 16 mil in one direction and some that are within 16 mil in the other direction, then they will all combine together.
Even if there are always at the extreme.
Even though the extreme ones are more than almost 32 mil apart, because you still have 16 here and 16 here, so that's good enough.
The animals are I'm talking about the shepherd.
Forget the shepherd for a second. Forget the shepherd. We're talking about the sheep.
But you have to see them.
You have to see them, fine. So he's someplace in the area. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But right now we're talking about the sheep. So he has, some of his sheep are grazing 16 mil north of him. Some of them are grazing 16 mil south of him. Meanwhile, he has a couple of the sheep in the middle with him, let's say with him. So then they all combine together, and then you have one big herd. Now, what will actually happen, okay, so now let's learn the next case, for Kama. How many animals do there have to be in the middle in order for them to combine like that? Omarav, chomish mikan, b'chomish mikan, b'chomish me'emsa. You have to have five on one side, five on the other, and five in the middle. Why is that? Because that way, those five in the middle are able to combine with either group. In other words, really, it doesn't necessarily have to be five, five, and five specifically. The point is, you have to have the number in the middle. If you combine them with either one of the outer groups, you're going to have at least 10. So it could just as well be, for example, that both of the outer groups are four each, and the middle group is six. It could be three in the outer, each of the outer groups, and seven in the middle, whatever. The point is that then when you combine the middle one with one of them, then you will have 10. And then what actually happens is that, now we're going to learn later on in the perek, that what we're going to learn later on in the perek, if you have, let's say, between 10 and 20 animals, so you put them all in the pen, you start having them come out, and when you have the 10th one comes out, you mark it as nicer. What happens to the remaining ones? The remaining ones, because you haven't counted them towards Meiser, those have to be saved for the next Gurdon, for the next time of year when Meiser Behema is to be taken. We're going to talk about in a couple of blocks that there are three times a year that the Chamim designated as times when you should be taking Meiser Behema. So in other words, those animals are not yet potter for Meiser Behema. If you're going to have more animals of that type born during the, let's say, the cutoff date is a Chodesh Elul, according to the Chacham, which is the Halacha. So let's say you have between the Chodesh Elul and so let's say we're going to learn later on in the Perek that you have the three Gronos. Let's say one of them is shortly before Pesach. So by Pesach, let's say you had 15 animals born. So now you're coming to the first Gurdon. Okay, you put the 15 animals in the pen. 10 of them come out. The 10th one you mark as Meiser. The remaining five are not yet potter from Meiser. If between then and the next Gurdon, which takes place shortly before Shavuos, you have another five animals, then you take those, the five that you had left from before, and the new five, and put them all in the pen, and again count them from Meiser to Hema. If it comes with Chodesh Elul, and then you haven't had five more animals, okay, then they're potter, because then already the year has passed. So the same thing over here then. What you do is, now that you have, again, five, five, and five, let's say, so you're taking all those 15 and joining them together from Meiser Behema, ultimately you're only having 10 of them come out of the pen and marking the 10th one. The other five you're still going to have to save and wait and see what happens. You're going to have five more sheep born during the next few months before the next go.
10 that come out?
The 10 of them come out and the 10th one is Meiser.
And after that?
After that, the other ones are not potter from Meiser. The other ones you have to save for the next go.
Why? I
mean, because they weren't counted, that's the point. Only the first 10 were counted.
Until
the cutoff, until Rosh Chodesh. They were in the pen, but that doesn't matter. Being in the pen doesn't help anything.
So
when they come out and are counted.
Only to count one time after 10.
Right. Well, you count until you have less than 10 left in the tank. Let's put it that way. I mean, if you have 1,000, same thing. You count up to 10, 100 times, and then, you know, 99 times or whatever, and then when you come... Yeah, the point is, whenever you have less than 10 left in the pen, they're not Totter, you save them for the next Godin, and then see whether you're going to have 10 then. Whatever it is, you have one Godin before Pesach, another one before Shavuot, another one, yeah, every few months. Yeah. Okay. Is Rosh Chodesh Elul. Well, that's the cutoff, and then if you don't have 10, then those are Potter, and you start fresh with the new. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so again, so Rav is saying that it's only if you have 5 on each side and 5 in the middle, or any other combination such that the ones in the middle would combine with either of the side ones to make 10. It's not necessarily that it has to be 15 altogether. Again, you could have, let's say, 3 on each of the side ones and 7 in the middle, which totals only 13. The point is that the 7 in the
middle,
he says, but we're going to see soon, that with, he doesn't only mean 5, 5, and 5. He means that the ones in the middle are able to combine with either one of the side ones to make a total of 10.
Five and five.
So it could either be 5 and 5 here, or 5 and 5 here. Right. So see, you could have 7 and 3 here, let's say, or if you combine with these, yeah. Right. But for example, if you had, let's say, 5 in the middle, 5 on one end, 4 on the other end, then it wouldn't work in the sense that the 4 on the other end are completely out of the picture.
Right, but on the other side.
On the other side, you count together the 5 and 5, put them in the 10, and then count to 10. That's the point. It has to work on both sides. It has to, yeah, 5 here, 5 here, and 5 here. If you have 5 in the middle, 5 on one end, 4 on the other end, then we ignore the 4. Then we ignore the 4 altogether, even if they're within 16 mil, and we focus only on the 5 and 5. Yeah, those are the ones. Those work, yeah. Okay, so that's Rav. Ushmul Omer, afilu chomesh mikan, v'hei mikan, v'echad ben. Note, Shmuel says, even if you have 5 on each end, 32 mil apart, and 1 in the middle, it still counts. Chazinam l'roya kamanda koi hafa, because we picture as if the shepherd was there in the middle with the one sheep. See, that's the point. The shepherd doesn't actually need to be there. We picture as though he's there, the Koran in Beimona, and therefore we can say that you have one shepherd who's able to count all of these 11 sheep, because they're all within, who that locha is like, we'll get to, wait.
It's considered
dinamarins. No, it's considered dinamarins, it's a hetero, but wait. Okay. The Gemara says, mate, you have a contradiction. Tadrach. A braisa says, suppose a person had 5 sheep in Kfar Hananya, which is a village in the north of the Galil, and another 5 in Kfar Usni, which is a village in the south of the Galil. They don't combine together. Unless he has 1 in Sipodi. So here in the braisa clearly says 5, 1, and 5. Of the Dirab. Wouldn't that be a contradiction to that? So what it is Sipodi is exactly in the middle between these two. Sipodi is within 16 mil of Kfar Hananya and within 16 mil of Kfar Usni. The truth is, actually, it's an interesting thing. Modern geographers, where they identify Kfar Hananya and Kfar Usni, it comes out they're more like 15 or 16 miles in each direction from Sipodi. So in that case, you would have to say that the mil that the Mishnah and the Gemara are talking about over here are larger than a regular mil, because a regular mil is about 3/5 of a mile, is about a kilometer.
And here
it seems, if they've identified Kfar Hananya and Kfar Usni correctly, then it would be more than 16 mil. So maybe over here, maybe 16 mil means something closer to today's miles, or maybe not. Maybe they've misidentified where Kfar Hananya and Kfar Usni are. Okay. Fine. Anyway, two of the Dirav, you have a contradiction on Rav. The answer is Tirgum or Shmuel, Alib Dirav. The answer is Shmuel explained that the Braisa is not a contradiction. He explained what would Rav answer to that. To go and show you Tesha Mikan, when the Braisa says 5, it doesn't literally mean 5. It means, it does mean 5. When it says actually, hey, like Achaz, it's talking about a different case. One case is he has 5 in Kfar Hananya and 5 in Kfar Usni. Being that those are more than 16 mil apart, they don't combine. But in a different case, if you have 9 in Kfar Hananya and 9 in Kfar Usni, and 1 in Sipodi, which is in the middle, then it would combine.
919.
Because again, all Rav requires is that the middle one should be able to combine with either one of the outer ones, and here it can. 9 and 1 is 10. So therefore, that would work even if ones are not. In other words, we thought the Braisa is telling us only one case. You have 5, 1, and 5, and that only works according to Shmuel. But the answer is Rav would answer the Braisa is talking two different cases. One where you only have 5 and 5 with nothing in the middle, 5, 0, 5. So therefore, they don't combine. And the other would be talking about where you had 9, 1, and 9. And that would combine. Amr Apapa, so the Papa says in this connection, Dula Shmuel. Now, according to Shmuel's opinion, if we're saying that according to Shmuel, all you need is one animal in the middle, first of all, I feel the Roya Mitzvah, you don't necessarily need a certain number of animals in the middle. Even if only the shepherd himself is there and there are no animals there, then he would combine them, because all Shmuel requires is that you have something that you can consider as though the shepherd was there, and therefore you can keep an eye on all the animals in every direction. So if the shepherd himself is actually there, even though there's no animals, yeah, it would also work. That's according to Shmuel. But if you look, Caleb shall roy a mitzvah. But not only that, says your papa, according to Shmuel, even if only his equipment was left there, then it would also count. Then it would also combine, because how is the equipment going to get back to him? He's going to have to come and get it. Therefore, when he comes and get it, he's going to be able to see all the animals. Therefore, it can be called that they're all under one minor, as we brought from the pasuk. Now, boy, Rav Ashi asks, if you're going to tell me that according to Shmuel, even the shepherd combines them, and even the shepherd's equipment combines them, what about Kalba B'royamai? What about if the shepherd left his dog there in the middle? Do we say, Kibben de Kori Leva Ossi? Now, on the one hand, you could say it's different than the equipment, because the equipment isn't going to come to him unless he comes and gets it. As opposed to the dog, he doesn't have to come and fetch the dog. He can call to the dog, and it'll come to him. So therefore, Loi Vitzarfi, maybe it doesn't combine. Because the shepherd himself is not necessarily ever going to have to be there. Or maybe not. Zimnin Deloy Ossi. Sometimes the shepherd calls to the dog and it doesn't want to come. And then the shepherd does have to go and get the dog. So what would be the din? And the answer is take. Now, who is the halacha like? Usually when we have a machloikas in matters of Isser Veheter, as this is, the halacha is usually like Rab. And indeed, the Rambam passes like Rab over here. Although one of the Achronim, one of the Noisa Kalim on the Rambam, asks, given that the Gemara is doing a whole shock of Italia within Shmuel's opinion and clarifying what cases Shmuel would say this and that, and what about the case of the dog, shouldn't that be that the halacha is like Shmuel? Nevertheless, that's how it is. The Rambam passes things like Rab. Then we said in the Mice of Behema is not noyig nowadays when there's no Bais Mikdash, as we learned at the beginning of the Perek. So we only have the Rambam is the only person on it. You have Orach HaShulchan HaOsid, but Orach HaShulchan HaOsid basically is based on the Rambam, because there's none of the other Rishonim that passed in on these things. It's all Hilchos El Mashiach. It's all Halachos. It'll be relevant when Mashiach comes.
Did you make the companion of Asus that going to change?
Who, the Rambam? Yeah. Not that I know of. No. I mean, the Rambam passes this way, the Pashtus, I guess, when Mashiach comes and the Sanhedrin is reestablished, they can sit down and decide, should we actually pass him like Rav, or should we make an exception in this case and pass him much more? But meanwhile, the Rambam passes like that. Okay. Fine. Then we set an admission.
Essentially change what the Rambam
The Sanhedrin, when they sit, they're entitled to vote and decide, yeah. The Mishnah said Rameir Omer HaYardin Masik or Maisa Behema, that Rameir says that the Yardin separates things as far as Maisa Behema. Again, that if you have animals on different sides of the Yardin, even though they're within 16 mil, they don't count. So Omer Rabami, Lo Yishonu El Shein Shom Gesher. So Rabami says that would only apply if there was no bridge that they could cross. Avo Yesh Shom Gesher, but if there's a bridge there that they're able to cross and get back across, Gesher Metzarfen, and then the bridge combines them, and then the usual 16-mil rule applies. There are some bridges. First of all, there aren't always. I mean, there are bridges in various places in the Yarden, it's true, but the bridges could wash away, after all, or the bridges could be broken and not rebuilt, whatever. And besides, the pastures were talking about if there's a bridge within 16-mil. If there's a bridge at the other end of the Yarden, 50 miles away, it doesn't really help you, does it?
What does it stop the Yarden?
That's what we're going to talk about soon. We're going to talk about soon the geography of Eretz Yisrael and the Yardin. Wait. Okay. So the Gemara says Alma. Okay. So then you see from that based on what Rav Ami is saying, Mishum Dolei Mekarvan Hu. Okay. So evidently the reason why, if there's no bridge, why they don't combine is because they can't easily get one to the other. The animals can't easily combine together. The shepherd can't easily get from one to the other. However, the problem with that is Maisvi. The Gemara says have a contradiction. A Braisa says, suppose a person had some animals on the two sides of the Yarden, some on one side and some on the other side. Or he had animals that are in two different avtilois. Rashi translates avtilois with the word country, which means basically like provinces. Now they're all under one kingdom, country dish, Rashi says, which is like countries. So it means, in other words, that they're all part of. You could think of it, let's say, like maybe different states or different proportion of different exact explanations of what Shnei Aftilois means. One point that some of them make is we're not just talking about, let's say, for example, like different states in the United States or whatever. Mm-hmm. We're talking about different provinces, such that like it's not easy to cross over from one to the other. Like there are, they may be all under one kingdom or whatever, but you have internal border controls or whatever between one and the other. So if the other Mephoroshim point that out. So if you have in two Avtilos, Kegon Shom Nomer v'Nimuri, for example, you have some animals in Nomer and some animals in Nimuri, which are two places near each other, but they're in two different provinces like that, Ein Mitzdarfin, and they don't combine together, even though they're fairly close. The Ein Sarech Loma Chutz La'aretz V'aretz. Needless to say, that would be the din if some of your animals are in Chutz La'aretz and some of them are in Eretz Yisrael, then they wouldn't combine together. Now, but the question is, now consider, outside Eretz Yisrael and in Eretz Yisrael, you have land borders. Not all of Eretz Yisrael is surrounded by water. So you have land borders between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. And so you have land borders, so it's the equivalent of there being a bridge, because there's nothing preventing the animals from crossing over. They don't combine together. So it can't just be a matter of the practicalities that you can't get across the river easily. There must be something more than that. The same thing with the Shnei Aftilois, for that matter, also. Okay, if you must say there are customs boundaries or whatever, fine, but that's not going to keep animals from going across from one to the other. So there's got to be something else going on over here. Okay, Reb Meir's reason why he says that the Yarden is a division, nothing to do with whether there are bridges or not. It's a Xeris HaKosuv. The Omakra, because you have a Pasuk, the Pasuk describes the borders of each of the 12 Shvatim in Sefer Yeshua, and in the borders of Binyamin, it says, V'hayarden yigbol oisil afas kema. It says the Yarden will bound the territory of Binyamin on the east side. Meaning, HaKosev, Asoi, Gvor B'Fnei Asmai. That means that Pasuk is telling us that the Yarden is considered a boundary of its own.
Regardless
whether there are bridges or not, exactly. Just the fact that the Pasuk calls it a Gvor implies that it makes a boundary, that it makes a division between one side and the other. Okay, so my ask. Well, one side is Eretz Yisrael proper, the other side is Eber HaYarden. Eber HaYarden actually, it is and it isn't. It has many of the dinim of Eretz Yisrael, but it doesn't have the same Kedusha as Eretz Yisrael proper. Okay, so the question is Elamayata. By that logic, you're going to tell me every time it says Gvul, then it means the Torah is delineating a separate boundary, the Sara Gvul, the Ola Gvul. What about in other parts of Binyamin's borders and the borders of the other Shvatim? It uses the expression the Sara Gvul, the boundary will run in a straight line, the Ola Gvul, it'll go up in elevation. Are you going to say that every one of those lines that it delineates makes a separate border, and you're going to have animals on one side versus the other? Those aren't even Shnei Aftilois, because the fact that there are two, they're in the boundaries of two different Shvatim, but there's no customs borders or anything between them. There's nothing, so
Between Israel and
Yehuda, but not, let's say, between Yehuda and Binyamin, not between Yehuda and Binyamin, let's say, and not between Ephraim and Menashe, and between whatever, yeah. The answer is shiny hossam. Okay, but it's different there. The omakra, because when the pasuk, yes, in Sefer Yoshua, it mentions the boundaries of each of the shvatim individually, but in the Torah, in Parshas Maaseh, when it gives the borders of Eretz Yisrael as a whole, it finishes off. This should be the land for you according to its boundaries all around, meaning kula Eretz Yisrael gvul echad, meaning that all Eretz Yisrael is considered to be within one border. So the internal borders between the Shvatim are not considered borders as far as Ma'ase Behem. The question is, Yehoch Yarden Nami, then in that case, shouldn't we say the same thing as the Yarden? You have Shvatim on one side of it, you have Shvatim, you have Reuven and Gad and Chatishev and Menashe on the other side. So why are we saying that the Yarden is considered a border and the rest of the borders between the Shvatim are not? The answer is because the Pasuk says, Zoi Tzia Lacham Ha'oretz, Eretz V'lo Yarden. The Pasuk says, this shall be the land for you according to its borders, but not the Yarden is not land. The Yarden is a river. So therefore, the Yarden, according to the mayor, can be considered a boundary that it actually divides one part of Eretz Yisrael from another, Eretz Yisrael proper from Eber HaYarden, and therefore that divides as far as Ma'ase Behema, whereas the rest of the internal borders of the Shvatim do not.
The Yarden,
it separates the Shvatim, Eretz Yisrael proper, the 9.5 Shvatim who got their Nachla on that side of the Yarden, from the 2.5 on the other side. So that, even though the Pasuk says, again, even though in Parshas Maaseh, the Torah describes that all Eretz Yisrael is considered within one border, and therefore it's not considered separate provinces, but the Yarden is an exception, because the fact that the Torah says, Ha'oretz L'gvulei Seha, implies that the river, the Yarden, is a separate category of its own. And actually, it's interesting, Mefoshim bring that there's actually a Yerushalmi that discusses we're going to discuss in the Gemara the question over here, whether the Yarden itself is considered part of Eretz Yisrael, or whether it's considered part of Eretz Yarden, but there's actually a Yerushalmi that implies that maybe even it's not considered part of either one, in effect, it's considered a separate area of its own, based, again, on this process, that Ha'oretz L'gvulei Seha, and not Ha'yarden. Okay. Fine. Okay, so we have two So it may be part of Eretz Yarden, as we're going to discuss now. We're going to have a machlokes about it. But, yeah. Okay, so far we have two explanations of what Rav Meir is saying about the Yarden. That one is Rav Ami's explanation that it's just based on whether you can easily get across, so it depends whether there's a bridge or not. And the other one is Rav Chiya Abba's explanation that's based on the pasuk which calls the Yarden a gvul. So the question is, Gishlema le Rav Chiya Abba, okay, I can understand. According to Rav Chiya Abba, Heinek the Katani Yarden. Well, that explains why the mayor in the Mishnah specifically mentions the Yarden. Because according to him, this rule applies only to the Yarden. It wouldn't apply to other rivers in the world. El Rav Ami, Lusnina Lakulu Naris, according to Rav Ami, the same rule should apply to any rivers. So why does it Davka say the Yarden? It should have said just any river, if there's a bridge or not. Rav Chiya Abba is saying that you have a pasuk that mentions specifically the Yarden as a bull. So according to him, it makes sense why the mayor said Yarden master from Ma'aseh Behemah and not a regular bull. But according to Rav Ami, what's the difference between the Yarden and any other river? If it's a matter of whether you can get across or not, then the same rule applies to the Yarden or any other river.
Okay. Big.
Well, there aren't any big. Well, no, that's true. But first of all, we did learn in the beginning of our parak that Ma'aseh Behemah does apply in Chutz La'aretz as well. We said that Rabbi Akiva, who says you don't bring them as korbanos, would still say they still have the din of ma'aseh behemah, and you have to wait till they develop a mumen, and then only then can you shech them and eat them. So yes, so according to Rabbi Ami, why are we mentioning Davka the Yarden? Mention also the Chidekel on the Pros, mention also the Mississippi, mention also the Nile, whatever. Yeah, okay. Akasha on him. The Gemara says, Lema Katanoi. Should we say that this is actually a machlokas tanoim on this question of why the Yarden would be a division? Actually, Marshate, you can see the word Lema is in parenthesis, and Marshate takes it out because he says the Gemara is not asking a question, really. The Gemara just wants to point out something. Lema Katanoi would be that we're asking a question. Should we say that it's a machlokas tanoim, and then the Gemara ends up saying yes or no? Over here, we're not going to really say yes or no. We're mentioning a machlokas tanoim and this connection here. Okay. The Pasuk says, also in Parshas Maaseh, Ki atem ovrim at the Yarden out of Knaan. The Pasuk says, you are going to be crossing the Yarden into Eretz Knaan, meaning, out of Eretz Knaan, only the land is considered Eretz Knaan, below HaYarden Eretz Knaan. The Yarden is not considered part of Eretz Knaan, it would be considered part of Eretz Yarden. Divir of Yehuda ben Beseder. So says Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder, the Yarden is not considered part, the Yarden itself, the width of the Yarden, is not considered part of Eretz Yisrael proper. Rav Shimon Yechoy says no. Harehu Oimer me'ever le'yarden yirechoy kedma mizracha. You have a pasuk also there in Parshas Maaseh in the description of the borders that says on the other side of the Yarden by yirechoy towards the east. Why does it have to mention Yarden yirechoy? We know the Yarden flows near yirechoy. It means ma yirechoy Eretz Knaan. Just like yirechoy is unquestionably part of Eretz Knaan. It's the first city they conquered after they came into Eretz Knaan. Af Yarden Eretz Knaan, the same thing. We're making a hekish, and the Yarden itself is also considered part of Eretz Knaan. Because it says in the same passage it says Yarden yirechoy. So they have to identify the Yarden by mentioning
the Yarden. At the level of
Yerichoy. Ah, we're going to mention that in a second. Wait. So it comes out it is actually a machlokas tanoim whether the Yarden is considered part of Eretz Yisrael proper or not. Hakadosh Baruch Hu has a different girsa over here, where he puts in the word kasha over here, meaning that according to him, it was a question. Should we say that it's a machloek of Tanoim, and we're answering that yes, it is a kasha. It is a kasha on Reb Ami, who said that it's something generic to all rivers and not something specific to the island. Okay, fine. It's only considered the Yarden only from base Yericho, only from the area of Yericho, Ulamata, and downstream, down to the Dead Sea. Now, Yericho is actually fairly south along the length of the Yarden. The Yarden runs, as the Gemara is going to tell us soon. The Yarden starts off north of the Kinneret, from a spring over there. It runs through the lake north of the Kinneret, which nowadays is called Lake Chula, and most of it has been dried up. It originates, the Gemara is going to tell us soon, it originates in a cave called Ma'aras Kamyas. Nowadays that area is called Banyas. It's in the north of Eretz Yisrael, in the Golan Heights. It's a very, very picturesque area. But if you ever have a chance on a trip to Eretz Yisrael, go visit that area. Banyas is a beautiful area. Anyway. But, okay, so the Yarden starts out there, it flows south, it goes into the Kinneret, then it exits the Kinneret, it runs down for about 40 or 50 miles, and it goes to the Dead Sea. Yericho is almost at the end of the Yarden before it gets in, and it's a few miles above the Dead Sea. So when we're saying over here that it's only considered the Yarden from Yericho and higher, now why would that be? So Rashi says, because above Yericho, it can't really be called the Yarden because it gets mixed with other large bodies of water. So Tosfos says, what are you talking about? The bodies of water with large bodies of water. So Tosfos says, what are you talking about? The last large body of water that you have before Yericho is the Kinneret, which is 30 or 40 miles upstream. So what do you mean that only from Yericho and on can it be considered to have a chshivus of its own? So Tosfos mentions. Tosfos says that okay, you could have, let's say, so yes, it gets mixed in with the Kinneret. It gets mixed in with the Kinneret, and then it takes a while after flowing through it for it to be basically that the water that's flowing through is basically only pure Yarden water without any admixture. Tosfos also brings up the point that you have other tributaries that flow into it, so maybe what it is from Yericho and onward is the point you don't have any more tributaries, and then you have the full strength of the Yarden.
North of the Kinneret.
Not north of the Kinneret, north of the Yericho.
Yericho, there's tributaries?
Yeah, there's tributaries on both, from both sides, from Eretz Yisrael and from Jordan. There are smallish tributaries. Yeah, I mean, you can see over here, for example, you have, I don't know how clearly we'll see the tributaries on a map, but yeah. Here, Yericho is over here, Jericho, and yeah, above it you have various tributaries that come into the Yarden from the Eretz Yisrael side, various streams, seasonal streams, some of them or whatever, yeah, that flow into the Yarden from that side, and you have ones on the other side, and then Jordan that do the same thing. Tosfos gives a different reason, nothing to do with geography of the matter, but just because we said before that the Pasuk calls the Yarden a gvul, it calls it a border. And in what context does it mention that? In connection with the territory of Binyamin. So if you look over here in the diagram, in the schematic diagram in Tosfos, so you have in this diagram, east is up, and north is to the left. So you have, so you flip it 90 degrees, and it'll look like a map that we look at nowadays. So you have, therefore, Shevet Yosef is further north, and the Yarden is on its east side. Shevet Binyamin is the next Shevet south of that, and Yericho is in its northeast corner. And then south of that, you have Shevet Yehuda, and there you have the Yamamela. So the point is, in other words, where is the Pasuk described the Yarden as a border? Only as a border of Binyamin. And the northernmost point of Binyamin along the Yarden is Yericho. So therefore, in that sense, therefore, so only... we know that the Yarden is part of Eretz Yisrael because we're comparing it to Yericho.
Yeah.
And we know that it's a border because it says that it mentions it as being a border for Shevet Binyamin. In other words, it's true, it is a border for Shevet Yosef, but the Pasuk doesn't say so. Then they use the word Gvul by Yosef. They use the word Gvul by Binyamin. So that's how it is. They use the word Gvul by Binyamin. So therefore, that's an argument that can be made, that only where the Torah calls it a gvul, namely from Binyamin's territory southward, which would be therefore from Yericho southward, only there can it be considered the real Yavin.
So north and south of Binyamin.
South of Binyamin is a Dead Sea. South of Binyamin is a Dead Sea. Binyamin's territory ends by the corner of the Dead Sea. And north of Binyamin is Yosef, but at that point, that's already north of Yericho. And he said that only Sheva Binyamin's eastern border of the Yavin is called the Gvul. So therefore, that's the argument that can be made, that only from Yerushalayim downward, which is where the Torah calls it a Gvul, only there is it considered the actual Yarden. Above that, it wouldn't be considered the Yarden as far as being a border, because it's not, because the Torah doesn't call it a border.
So the land on the east, the north of Yericho, is Eretz Yisrael, you're saying?
No. We're not making it clear here. The Yarden runs for miles and miles from the Kinneret down to the Dead Sea.
Right.
But only the segment of it from Yericho to the Dead Sea, which is
right.
the eastern border of Binyamin,
right.
only that is what the Torah is called a Gvul.
Right.
The part north of it is not being called Gvul.
Exactly.
So therefore, the argument is, Rabbi Baba Hanna is saying, only that segment of the Yarden is what Rameir is saying would divide things as far as mice behavior. If you had animals here and animals here, upstream in the Yarden, then they could combine together for mice behavior. Only if it's in that bottom segment over there from Yerushalayim downward, then not. Then, right.
It's only Gvul from Masir Behemos.
No, we're talking, well, that's what we have to figure out, actually, what we mean by it's only the Yarden at that point. So wait, we have to figure out what does he mean when he says that the it's only considered the Yarden from Yerushalayim downward. With that said, by the way, there's actually a place directly south of the Kinneret. There's an ancient town there called Beis Yerach, which is mentioned in the Yerushalmi in a different context. And yeah, some people think that maybe the Gemara over here meant Beis Yerach rather than Yerushalayim. But again, based on Tosfos, it's clear that they didn't understand it that way.
You talked about Banias before. Was Banias?
Banias is north of the Kinneret.
It's in the Golan.
It's in the Golan.
Was it part of
it? Yes, it was. It was the territory of Shevet Dan. No, not before the Six-Day War. Was. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, let's go on. Okay, so the question is, when we say that it's considered the Yarden only from Yericho and downstream, Lamai Hilsa, as far as what halacha are we talking about? Elamelam Noder, are we talking about if a person makes a neder, for example, that I'm not going to cross the Yarden or I'm not going to drink from the Yarden, well then, halachacha loshim ne'adam. In the Dorim, we know the general rule is you go according to the common way that people describe things. V'chol hecha dekorale Yarden Isole. People think of upstream in the Yarden as also being the Yarden, so then he would be also to drink or cross the upstream Yarden also. Why are we saying in the Dorim, you go according to how people describe it? Elo l'maisa behema. So no, it must be as far as our din of maisa behema. That all, according to the mayor, that Yarden divides things from Maisa Behema only from Yericho downward. Tanya Nami Hochi,
all the rest
would not be considered a border as far as that. Tanya Nami Hochi, in fact, we learn similarly in a Brisa, Yarden Yotzim Ma'oras Pamias, the Yarden comes out from a spring in the cave of Pamias, which again, Pamias is a place north of the Kinneret. Nowadays they call it Banyas, because the Arabs, as you know, can't pronounce a P, so they pronounce it as a B instead of Banyas, became Banyas by them, yeah. Umahalach v'yama shal Sivchi, then the Yarden passes through the Sivchi, the Sivchi Sea, which nowadays they call Lake Chula. Most of it was dried up years ago by Israel to create farmland, and because it was really swampy and full of mosquitoes and all. They have a little bit of it left as a nature preserve, but yeah. So it passes through there. Over Yamashot Tveria, then it passes.
Where is it then?
So that is north of the Kinneret.
North
of the Kinneret, yeah. So it passes through this Yamashot Tivchi, the Lake Chola. Over Yamashot Tveria, then it passes through the Sea of Tveria, which is the Kinneret. Over Yamashot Sdoim, it passes through the Sea of Sdoim, which is the Dead Sea. Over Holich v'Neufel l'Yamagodol, and then it goes and falls into the Yamagodol. Now, what does that mean? The Dead Sea is a landlocked lake. No, it doesn't have an outflow. So one possibility they explain based on something in Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer is that there are underground channels from it that eventually go that eventually go, well, not to the Mediterranean, but you have mountains in the way, but down through the Arava, down through the depression over there, down through the desert, down to the Red Sea, which the Red Sea itself eventually connects with the, well, it can be, because eventually it connects with the Indian Ocean and becomes part of the oceans of the world. So in that sense, it can be called Yamagadol. So there is an argument that's made that way, the Red Sea itself is not Gadol, but it connects to the Indian Ocean, which is pretty big.
Yeah.
Okay, so then that's the argument that's made, is that's what it means, that's what we mean over here, is in other words, that you have those underground channels, the water seeps from the Dead Sea through these underground channels and eventually reaches the Red Sea. Okay. And the Braisa finishes off, Ve'en Yaudin, element based Yerecha Ulamata, and it's only considered the Yaudin from Yerecha downstream. So there we have a Braisa that shows that the Yaudin is that's only considered the Yaudin from Yericha and downstream. Amr of Chir Ba'aba, Amr of Yechran, Lama Nikra Shmo Yaudin, let's talk about the river itself. Why is the river called Yaudin? She Yored Midon, because it comes downward from Don. Because we said that comes from Pamias. And so in fact, Omelet of Abba Lord of Ashi, Sir of Abba says Sir of Ashi, after Mehosamas Nisula, you in Bavel, you learn that the Yarden comes from Don by analyzing the name and coming and pointing out that Yarden includes the word Don in it. Anan, we in Eretz Yisrael, Mehochamas Ninama, we learn it from a different source. That the Pasuk says that the Pasuk describes our Shevet Don. In the times of the Shoftim, their original territory was what they called, to this very day, Gush Dan, the area of Tel Aviv, in that immediate area. But nowadays they call it Gush Dan. But in those times, most of it was occupied by... One second. In those times, when the Jewish people conquered and settled out Israel, most of that area, which is now Gush Dan, was settled and was occupied by the Plishtim. So Shevet Dan had a very hard time finding space to live over there. So a bunch of them went northeast, and they found a city called Leshem, and they conquered it. And the Pasuk says, by Yikru Loi Leshem Dan, they renamed the city of Leshem Dan, Veshem Dan Aviem, after the name of Dan, their ancestor. But Amr Rabbi Yitzchak Leshem Zupam, yes? Then we have also Rabbi Yitzchak tells us that you should know the city that then was called Leshem is nowadays called Pamyas. The Tanyan, as we said before, in a Braisa, Yotze Yarden Memaris Pamyas. But the Yarden comes from the Pamyas, from the Pamyas cave. So we see automatically from that the Yarden comes from Don. You don't have to analyze the word Yarden itself to come up with that. Once we know where Pamyas is, once we know that it's identical with Leshem, and which is Don, then we know automatically where it comes from. So here.
It's a band from where to
where. Wait, what do you mean band? No, I don't know what you mean by band. You have a place called Banyas. You have a place called Banyas or Pamyas or whatever here. I don't know if you can find it easily, but let's see. I don't know if I can find it easily, but I can't easily find it on this map, but whatever. Someplace in the northern Golan Heights, like here or thereabouts. So it flows from here through here. This area over here is where Lake Kola used to be.
Okay.
Then it flows south from there to the Dead Sea, to the Kinneret. Then it flows south from there to the Dead Sea. Yeah, from there we know. So that's the point, in other words. So Rav Abba tells Rav Ashi, you guys in Bavel, because you're not familiar with the geography of Eretz Yisrael, you have to analyze how do we know the Yaudin, how do we know where the Yaudin comes from, because the name Yaudin includes the word Don. We in Eretz Yisrael, who know the geography of the place, we know that it comes from Pamyas, which is identical with the city of Don that used to be called Leshem. It used to be Leshem, then the Shevet Don conquered it and renamed it Don, and later on, in the times of the Romans, it was called Pamyas. Okay. Omer of Kahana, Rav Kahana says, further on this topic, Zachruse de Yaudinam in the Oris Pamyas. The main water source of the Yaudin is from the Pamyas cave. Zachruse literally means strength. Ikre Sho Yarden, Master. So the main water of the Yarden comes from Pamyas. In other words, it's true, you have other streams that feed it, you have tributaries that feed it and whatever, but the main source of it. And therefore, Hecha de Omala Shasina Maim Artis Pamyas. Therefore, if a person makes a nether, I'm not going to drink water that comes from the Pamyas cave, it's still a Bechola Yarden. No, they need also to drink any water from the Yarden, because the main water of the Yarden comes from there. Similarly, Zachrusa de Dama Kavda. The main source of the blood in the body is from the liver. And that is Kedir Abyitzvah.
Yeah,
Well, the comparison is Kidrub, because we're mentioning Zachrusa, so we're mentioning another example of Zachrusa. And the point is Kidrub Yitzchak. So this is like what Rabbi Yitzchak said, the Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, the main source of the blood. And you look at, well, in the sense you have red blood cells are broken down over there. So in that sense, you have like the okay, but then you have the liver also has a big part in form. And therefore, the Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, covet shini mayach, if the liver of an animal, if the liver of a person, rather, is liquefied, the liver of a dead person is liquefied, mitame b'revius, it will be mitame a person if he touches or is in contact with a revius of it. Because the liver, in effect, is considered like congealed blood. And in fact, in Cholim, we learned that we had the famous thing where Yalta points out over there that everything in the Torah that's ulcer, Hashem gave us something similar to it, like mutter. And one example she gave is we're not allowed to eat blood, but we're allowed to eat the liver, which is saturated with blood, and which to all intents and purposes is almost like congealed blood. And still, you're allowed to eat it once you kasher it appropriately. Anyway, so the point is that it's this that was so if the liver liquefies, then it's considered like blood. Then it goes back to like being blood, and then therefore reveals a bit as a kamea person, which goes to show that the central substance of the blood comes from the liver. Similar, the zachrusa de maya pros, the main source of water for the world, of the water in the world, is the pros river. And therefore, the Amr of Yehuda, one second, what? Okay, that's one second. The Amr of Yehuda Amr Rav, as we see there, Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav, Hanoder mi meime pros, if a person makes a neder that I'm not going to drink water from the pros, also b'chol meime shaba olam, then he's also to drink any water in the world. Because all the water in the world, the main source of it, the same way as we said about the Yaudin and the Tamias. But wait, the question is, hey, Shidomi, the question is, what's the scenario? Bilema de Amr lo shasina mi meime de pros, if he just said I'm not going to drink water from the pros, why is he also in all the other worlds? What he means is, again, you go according to Loshem and Adam, may pros hu de lo shasina, all he means is I'm not going to drink water from the actual pros river itself, hal minar achrina shasina, but he's still going to be allowed to drink water from a different river. Now, Ella, no, the case must be de Amr lo shasina mi mayim de osu mi pros. Where he says, when would it be, if he makes a neder, I'm not going to drink any water that came from the pros. Now, why does that make him also to drink all the water in the world? The Amr of Yehuda, Amr Rav, Kol ha-nahores l'mata mishalash nahores, all rivers in the world are lower in elevation than the other three rivers. Now, in Parshas Bereishis, we're told that you have four rivers coming out of Gan Eden, Pisha and Gicha and Chideka and pros. But we're saying that three of those rivers, the Pisha and the Gicha and the Chidekel, are higher in elevation than all the other rivers in the world.
Spiritual.
It could be spiritual, especially, I mean, for example, we have the famous expression, Eretz Yisrael, Gevoya Mikol Ha'aretz, that Eretz Yisrael is higher than all other countries. And one explanation that what it means is because the earth is a globe, and therefore if we put a globe and we put Eretz Yisrael, we turn the globe, so Eretz Yisrael is on the top. Fine, but in other words, the point is, if you measure it as geographers and hydrographers and whatever do, you're not going to come up with the same results. But the Gemara is telling us over here, about the ruchniistic truth behind the geography. But all other rivers are lower than those three. The Gimel Nahares, the Matami Pros, and those three rivers themselves are lower in elevation than the Pros. So therefore, in other words, the Pros is the source of water for the other three, which in turn are the source for all the other water. They have the Pisha and the Gicha and the Chidek. Gicha and Chidek. No, that's the Gichon Spring. That's something else. No, we're talking about a river called Gichon.
Where is it?
There's different opinions where exactly it is. Some people identify it as a branch of the Nile. Some people identify it as the Ganges in India. Some people identify it as some river in Central Asia, whatever.
That's the Euphrates bubble, isn't that very low?
Bubble itself, well, central bubble is low, but the Pros itself runs along the edge, and the sources of it are in mountains in Turkey, which are fairly high elevation. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean that all rivers and streams in the world are lower than the Pros? Aren't there springs in higher mountains, which are higher than the Pros? We know that water seeks its own level. So how can you have, if you're telling me that all the source of water in the world is from the Pros, then how do you find springs in mountains that are higher than that? The answer is, Omer HaMashar Shiyahanu Solomei de Pros Nimu. Those are, not necessarily higher than the Pros, but the point is they're in high mountains. Those are the ladders of the pros. In other words, you have, similar to like, you know, you have in small towns, they have water towers, right? The idea being that you have, as long as you have that water is at a certain elevation, then you'll be, it'll be able to reach that elevation somewhere else in the same area without needing pumps and whatever. Same idea over here. Because the sources of the troughs are very high up, therefore you have the water is all connected together, so therefore you have underground springs that are fed ultimately by the troughs, which therefore are able to come up at high elevations in the mountains also, higher than where the trough flows in that area, but lower than the sources of the trough up in the mountains.
What are we saying? We're saying the sources.
We're saying that the sources of the trough are higher than are high. That, again, we can say higher. It means to a certain extent. It means ruchnius. But what we mean is, in other words, you find springs on high mountains, but those are actually being fed from the sources of the trough, because we have, as long as there's water at a certain elevation over here, it's able to reach that same elevation someplace else also by gravity alone.
Well,
apparently that seems to be the idea. Okay. So the question is, what do you mean that
by connection? Basically.
Yeah, connection, exactly. So the question is, what do you mean that the Pros is higher than the other three rivers? The Pasuk says, when it describes the rivers that come out of Gan Eden, the fourth one is the Pros, implying, in other words, that it's just like it's equal to all the other ones. You're telling me all the other ones are tributaries of it, it sounds like, but what do you mean? It sounds like it's co-equal with all of them. What the Pasuk means is who Pros me'ikra. When the Pasuk says who Pros, it is the Pros, it means that is the same river that was described before. How does the Pasuk go? It doesn't say that there are four rivers coming out of Gan Eden. The expression of the Pasuk is, V'nohar yotze me'eden, l'hashkes l'agon, there's a river flowing out of Eden to water the Gan, which, by the way, the Gemara mentions in Pesachim and in some other places, that the Gan is only a small part of Eden. Gan Eden Akach, Gan Eden Elyon, whatever it is exactly. Anyway, the point is, you have a river coming out of Eden to water the Gan, or Misham Yiparet, and from there it divides, V'hayol Ha'avar Roshim, and it becomes four main rivers. So in other words, what Rav Nachman Yitzchok is telling us is, the Pros is that original river that starts flowing out of Eden to the Gan. Then it splits up, and you have three other rivers branch off it, which are called the Pisha and the Gichon and the Chideko, and the main part of the river continues flowing on, and that is the Pros. So therefore, the Pros is higher than all the other ones.
Yeah, but we said that the Pros comes from Turkey, not from Aden.
Okay, where is Aden exactly? You know,
Aden
no.
is the Horn of
Syria. No, that's not that Aden. Not that Aden.
Which one is it?
No, the Aden means a place of delight. It means a place where Gan Eden was, wherever that was. We don't know. I don't know, maybe. Whatever it is. Again, we're also talking to a certain extent based on ruchnius of things, you know. So it could be that you have, I mean, there are high mountains in Turkey where the Pros flows from.
Right.
But when you get down to it also, for example, Rashi tells us the Pishon is the Nile.
Right.
You look on a map, the source of the Nile is in Central Africa. It's thousands of miles away from Turkey. Yeah, whatever, Sudan or Ethiopia or whatever, Kenya, I think, whatever. Anyway, the point is, so obviously we're not only talking about things that you're going to find on a map, things that you're going to ask the geographer and he's going to tell you. We're obviously talking about certain ruchniistic things as well. So therefore, in other words, there are subterranean springs or whatever that come from Gan Eden, wherever Gan Eden was originally, and they go below ground and they reemerge, some of them in Turkey to feed the Chideko on the Pros, and some of them in Central Africa to feed the Pishon, which is the Nile, and so forth. So the point is, the point that Nachum Yitzchak and Rav Achava Yaakov are making is that the Pros is that original river, then you have three large rivers branch off it, the Pisha and the Gichon and the Chideko, and the original river continues on as the Pros. So that's what we mean, that the Pros is the source of all the other ones.
It's the source or it's the...
It's the Pros source. The Pros is... No, again, you have a river coming out called the Pros. Then you have a divide. Here comes the Pishon, here comes the Gichon, here comes the Chideko. So they branch off it. They're lower than it. So and then it continues, and then the river continues on, still being called Pros. Fine. So we'll stop over here for my river, and we'll continue tomorrow with a further discussion about the Pros and about rivers in general and about how that relates to Dinim of Mitzvot.
When Mashiach comes, the border to the Israel will go up to the Pros, says.
Maybe even further, I don't know. You have a Medrash, right, that says the whole world will be Israel.
Yeah, but it's also
Yeah. No. For our Shia, no. We continued with the regular no. No, we didn't break from this facility. No, we just continued on with this.